My name is Andrew, and you're listening to Better Half Chats, a dialogue between a seminary graduate, myself, and my very candid wife, Bethany. Today, we'll be talking about the book of Ruth, and I'll be reading from Ruth 3, 9 through 11. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman."
Okay, before we even get started talking about Ruth, can we do like a popcorn summary back and forth telling the story? And like whenever you want to stop, just stop and point at the other person and then the other person will pick up.
Yeah,
can
sure.
Can we do that?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Okay, here we go. I'll go first. So there was a family from Judah, and there was a famine in Judah, so they moved to Moab. And there was two sons in the family, and they married Moabite women. So this is Naomi and Elimelech were the parents, and their sons' names don't matter because they're about to die. But they married people, women. One was named Ruth, and the other one doesn't matter because she's about to go away.
Right. Her name was Orpah. And basically what happens is all of the men die. So the two, Mahlon and Chilion, I think are their names, they die and Elimelech dies. So basically Naomi is left with no men in her family. She has no husband. She's a widow and her two sons die. So, obviously, in this day and age, it's a really bad news if you're a widow and you have no sons, and that's happening to you. So she is in a really, really bad spot.
Okay. So she's super depressed, and she looks at the daughter-in-laws, and she's like, just go back to your people, go back to your gods. Like, this is over for this. This show's over. There's no more children, no more men. It's just done. And so Orpah's like, okay. And she goes back to her people. But Ruth says, wait a minute, you just introduced me to your God. I believe he's the one true God. Why would I go back to my God? I'm going to go back with your people and your God. Let's go. Come on.
Right. So important to note that Ruth is not an Israelite. She's a Moabite. Okay. So we'll talk more about that later. Anyway, they go back to Judah. And at this point, I guess, you know, the famine, I guess, is doing better at this point, and there's a barley harvest and all of that. So Ruth, in order to take care of herself and her mother-in-law, is going out into the barley fields and gleaning what's left over in the barley fields, and she ends up in the field of a guy named Boaz. And Boaz is very kind to Ruth, and Ruth, in turn, is working very hard and gleaning as much barley as she can, and Boaz is doing a lot of good things for her, protecting her.
Okay, so this is kind of shocking, because why would he protect this Moabite? I guess Moabites are kind of looked at as, like, dirty or foreigners, or there's, like, a bad past there. I don't even really know. But they don't really like the Moabites, so... But she's here, and she's working, and Boaz is kind of taking her under her wing. I guess also another thing that I'm kind of gathering from this is maybe it's dangerous to go do this. Like, you're out in this field, and maybe some of the workers could hurt the women, but he makes sure his workers protect her. So she's got a really sweet situation. She had to go out and do something really dangerous, but now she's really being taken care of. So Naomi says, hey, this is awesome. My belly's full. I'm feeling less depressed. She's kind of thinking onward. And she's like, wait a minute. This could really turn around for us. We could have a baby. I don't know. Boaz is a redeemer. So you need to go tell him he's your redeemer. And let me tell you how you're going to do it. You're going to go at night when he's drunk and he's full and he's laying on the threshing floor. And you're going to go lay down at his feet.
Right, so then she goes in, and essentially, I guess we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but the reason why Boaz is sleeping at a threshing floor is because the harvest was very valuable, and they had to sleep on the seeds or the grain in order to just to keep it safe. So anyway, she goes in, and we'll talk a little bit more about why she goes in and does this kind of strange, like, private meeting or whatever. But she goes in, and she essentially asks Boaz to be her kinsman redeemer. And Boaz is like, absolutely, I will do that. But he says, there is another kinsman redeemer who is closer. So I guess the rule was, if you were in this situation, you went to the person who was the closest relative or whatever, or something like that. And so they Boaz is like, yes, I'll do that, but there's a closer kinsman redeemer, and I have to kind of go through the formality of asking him first.
Okay, so the next morning, they went to the gates, which is, I guess, where things happen. And so you go to the gates, and he finds this guy. And so everybody's standing at the gates. There's a ton of elders out there. So he approaches this guy in front of everybody, and he's like, look, Naomi, you know, Elimelech's wife, Naomi, has all this land that belonged to Elimelech. You're the redeemer. Do you want it? And he's like, yeah, love the land. That'd be great. And then Boaz says, well, Ruth comes with it. Now, if you don't want Ruth, it's okay, because I'll take her and I'll take the land. But Ruth kind of goes to the land, and then he's like, whoa, no, it's okay, you can have her. So in front of everybody and the elders.
I wasn't expecting Bethany to point at me, and she just like pointed at me really emphatically, like I was supposed to take the story from there. Well, that's basically the end, right? I mean,
well, the sandal.
Oh, right, the sandal thing. Yeah, I mean, so the culture, there's a lot of really interesting cultural things in this story, because it, like, in order to like solidify the deal, like, whereas we would like, you know, sign some papers or whatever, apparently in the Israelite culture at this time, they would take a sandal off and give the sandal to the other person, which is really interesting. But in that way, basically, the deal was done. Boaz receives the land, and he receives Ruth as his wife. And eventually, Boaz and Ruth have a child, and that child is Obed, who is the father of Jesse, who is the father of David. So the author connects it back to the genealogy of the greatest king in Israel's history. So I guess what we can do is we can sort of explain a couple of these little cultural oddities that happen in this story, because they're kind of important to the development of the story, I guess. And then we can talk about in the theme of our season. This year, we've been talking about wisdom and how this relates to wisdom, because you may be kind of wondering, how does this fit into the theme? But first, let's get to some of these cultural oddities. So the first thing I think we need to talk about is the whole gathering barley in the fields. Why was Ruth doing this, and how was she able to do this? So this is an instance of we get to see the law of Israel in action. So God, when he gave Israel the law, he put in some options for people who are poor, for people who are in really bad life situations, for foreigners who are sojourning through the land. God put in these sort of provisions for people to be helped through a tough situation. So obviously, Naomi and Ruth are in a very bad position. They're two women, two widows, who, you know, have nothing. They have no men to work for them. They're in a really bad spot. So essentially, the law of Israel allowed for them to go into the fields and basically to pick up what was left over when the grains were harvested, and when the, you know, the men were coming through and gathering up all the harvest, whatever was left over, they could take for themselves. And essentially when she's going to Boaz, like Bethany said, Boaz is protecting her. One, he's protecting her from anybody who might try to harm her, which was obviously a possibility in that time. And two, he's also telling his workers to leave behind whole bundles of the grain for Ruth to gather. So not only is she getting what's left over, but Boaz is saying, hey, leave behind whole bundles for her. So that's just a little picture of the way Boaz is kind of helping her. He's letting her get more than she would have otherwise. So do you feel like that explains that pretty well?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll explain the kinsman redeemer thing.
Okay.
Okay, so in Deuteronomy, I'm not so good with the history of it all, but that's basically where all the laws of the Israelites are kind of laid out. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. They're kind of laid out in Leviticus, but Deuteronomy basically just means second law. That's actually literally what that word means.
Okay.
So yeah, it's laid out again.
In the law that God gave the Israelites, this idea of the Redeemer is kind of in there. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that if someone's widowed, the next in line kind of relative would take that woman as his wife and take care of her, and whatever children that woman had or whatever fruit from the land, you know, whatever profits or whatever is made of that land or from that woman is the dead family member's lineage. So like if a king was to come out of that, you know, it would be from the line of the dead family member instead of the one who actually birthed the king. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they're doing it. They're taking the wife and they're doing it for the line of the deceased. It's like for the name of the deceased to continue on. So it's very sacrificial. And I guess in that time they just had like many wives. So they just kind of added them in. But it could somehow affect the dynamic of their household or whatever. It was a very sacrificial thing to do. So if somebody didn't want to do that, I thought this was interesting. In Deuteronomy 25:7, it says, and if the man does not wish to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to perpetuate his brother's name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of a husband's brother to me. Then the elders of a city shall call him and speak to him. And if he persists, saying, I do not wish to take her, then his brother's wife shall go up to him in the presence of the elders and pull his sandal off his foot and spit in his face. And she shall answer and say, so shall it be done to the man who does not build up his brother's house. And the name of his house shall be called in Israel, the house of him who had his sandal pulled off. So this was a very shameful thing to be called out by a woman.
Man, had his sandal pulled off.
You're my redeemer. And he says, no. And then the elders get involved. And say, you're her redeemer. And then he says, no. It could be a very shameful thing for his household. So I think that kind of explains why Ruth did this whole thing in private with the laying at the feet. I mean, she wasn't trying to call Boaz out in front of a bunch of people. She was just trying to politely say, think you're my redeemer. What are you going to do about that? Are you interested? I'm not going to shame you. I just, you know, am interested in being redeemed.
Yeah.
Women really had no way of providing themselves in this time. I mean, they just had to rely on the man. So she would have been gleaning from fields for the rest of her life.
Which is pretty interesting. For all the laws that we look at and think are so backwards, because there are some that we think, you know, man, the women just really this really got the raw end of the deal, and even some of the Israelite laws. I feel like that's one that kind of gave the women a little bit of power, you know, a little bit of say.
Right. But. And in that time, when you think about Proverbs being written, not the exact same time as Ruth's story, but around that time, not really sure about the timeline, but in a time when women are viewed like that, when women can't survive on their own, but that Proverbs 31 is written about this woman who does all these things. Like, these things would have, someone reading it at that time would have said, whoa, that woman is really getting stuff done, you know, when they read that. That's kind of another way to look at that. But why don't you go ahead and talk about the order of Proverbs and Ruth?
Yeah, yeah. So going back to, so obviously this season's about wisdom. And you may be kind of wondering, like, why are we talking about Ruth? But it's something really interesting that I learned when I was in school, is that in the Hebrew Bible, the order of their books were very different. And so in our Bibles, we've kind of westernized it. So we really like chronological order and grouping things together into categories or things like that. And so consequently, what we have in our Bible is we have the book of Judges and then the book of Ruth, because Ruth happens in the time of the Judges, even though it was written, you know, a little bit later. It happens during that time, and we read that in the very beginning of Ruth. It says, you know, in the time of the Judges or whatever. So we've placed them in that order in our English Bibles to show chronology, basically. But in the Hebrew Bible, I feel like they were much more, I guess, cognizant of the overarching picture that Scripture was trying to put together. And so what you have in the Hebrew Bible is you have the book of Proverbs, followed directly by the book of Ruth. So what's really interesting about that is that you have Proverbs 31, which we talked about last week. And, we talked about last week, if you listened, how, it's not just the Proverbs 31 woman. It's also just the Proverbs 31 person. It can be a man or a woman in Proverbs 31, and those are just the attributes of wisdom listed out in Proverbs 31. So it's really, really interesting that you have in the Hebrew Bible Proverbs 31, and then immediately following that, it goes into this story of Ruth, which is not only just a story of two random people, but two people who ended up being in the lineage of David, and then eventually the lineage of Jesus. So it's really, really interesting to see that. And I think what the Hebrew, compilers of Scripture were trying to show is that Ruth is, in some ways, a picture of wisdom, someone who's really, really wise. So I guess what I wanted to do with this episode is see, well, how is she wise? If she's a picture of wisdom, what are the things that she does that makes her that? So
okay, I'm going to go first so I can take the obvious one. All right. I'm going to draw from Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And connect it back to Ruth 1. And she says, when Naomi's telling her, look, Orpah went back to her people and to her gods, you do the same. And Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. So she was able to grasp a fear of the Lord. She was able to grasp that her God, that Naomi's God, was the true God, and it was enough for her to follow her to an unknown land and leave her family. Well, she'd already left her family to marry Naomi's son, but when given the opportunity to see them again, turn it down to follow this God. I mean, she really recognized that he's the true God. And in Proverbs, we learn that is a woman that is to be praised, one who fears the Lord.
Yeah, I think that's a really fascinating thing, that Ruth is not even an Israelite. She's a Moabite, and yet she still fears the Lord and still worships God. Cool. That's awesome. I think another way that she embodies this, if you look at Proverbs 31:12, it says she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. So obviously in Proverbs 31, it's sort of talking about a wife's relationship to her husband. And so that's why it says she does him good and not harm. But like I said last week, I think this really should be considered to be gender neutral. I mean, it's just the attributes of a wise person. And I mean, just look at how she treats her mother-in-law, Naomi. Orpah doesn't really have much concern, I guess, or I mean, we don't really know much about her and why she decides to just leave. But obviously, Ruth really cares about Naomi and really wants to help her, really wants to, you know, to get her out of this really terrible situation she's in. Even despite being in that situation herself, I mean, they're both widows, and Ruth really wants to help, and so she shows this love and devotion, and you have the whole speech where it says, "Do not entreat me to leave you," and I always thought that was really interesting that that's said at a lot of weddings and stuff like that, between, you know, a husband and a wife, but you know, originally it was said between two women.
Can you imagine if that was like part of the wedding ceremony for a new wife to say all those things to her mother-in-law?
Yeah, no, that'd be crazy. But yeah, originally it was said between a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law, which is really interesting. And it's really cool too how all of these things that Ruth does for Naomi eventually basically ends up redeeming Naomi too. Even though Ruth was, I guess, technically the one who was redeemed by the kinsman redeemer.
Right. It talks a lot towards the end about how Naomi cared for that child and yeah. how that child brought Naomi so much meaning.
And they even said they almost kind of considered it to be Naomi's child, mm-hmm. you know? And so Naomi really is just, she turns a complete 180 in this story from being kind of on the brink of death and just despair and depression. And all of these things happen, and then Naomi has a child, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool to see. Ruth does Naomi a lot of good through just the wise and good things that she did. So I think that's really cool.
I think it's cool, too, just the, you know, Naomi probably grew up with the Israelites her whole life and knew around people who knew the Lord. And for someone who's such a baby follower of God to have such childlike faith and to keep her on track and to bring her back to having faith in the Lord, because at the beginning of the book, she does not show to be a woman of faith who's feels like there's promise in her future, mm-hmm. which is another one of the Proverbs 31 features is, let's see, she laughs at the time to come. Oh, yeah, Proverbs 31:25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. That's, you mm-hmm. know, at the beginning of this book, Naomi was very, very depressed about the time to come, and Ruth kind of helped her through that. One I wanted to bring up is Ruth's work ethic. Proverbs 31:13-15, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. I think when we listen to this story, it's hard to understand exactly what she was having to do. But little tidbits in the story kind of let us know how dangerous it was. Like when you talk about, at one point, Naomi tells her, make sure you stay in Boaz's field lest you get hurt. I think it was pretty dangerous to go out and do this. And it's hard work out in the sun in the field, especially in the beginning when they didn't really have any food. She's doing this with no food. And so this was really, really, really great work ethic. You never hear her complain here. She's just working, getting done what she needs to get done. And there's also a little quote that, let's see.
Are you talking about the reference in verse 7 about how she, I guess the worker says that she had been there from early morning? Because I think that's really interesting too.
Yeah, right there. So she came. So Boaz comes to his field and he's like, who's that woman? And his workers know who she is. I mean, she already had a reputation. She is a young woman, Moabite woman, who came back from Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. I think it's interesting that she's already got this reputation and she definitely was notable.
Yeah, for sure. So a fourth way that I'll say that Ruth kind of embodies Proverbs 31 is in the verse 26 of chapter 31. It says she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And so I just kind of went back to the way Ruth handled the kinsman redeemer situation with Boaz. She, like Bethany said, she didn't go in and run the risk of shaming Boaz. Instead, she went to him in private and tried to make sure that that Boaz was the redeemer and that she wasn't mm-hmm. gonna shame him by handling it the wrong way. And so you just see a lot of kindness in that. You see a lot of wisdom in that, and she. She just displays what it means to be a wise person in that situation too.
Yeah, I was started talking about her reputation a little bit before in the fields, but that's also part of this Proverbs 31. 31:31 says, let her works praise her in the gates. You know, people notice this wise person and they have kind of a reputation that follows them. And there's other parts in Proverbs 31. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. So she has this reputation. And the way that kind of crosses over with Ruth's story is when Boaz first meets her, he says, Ruth says, why have I found favor in your eyes? This is in Ruth 2. That you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner. And he says, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. So people are already talking about her. They're noticing, wow, she recognizes the one true God. She's come here from Moab, which had to take some bravery because we don't really like Moabites that much. And then she's been so sacrificial and serving and working for her mother-in-law. I mean, not only is she doing all these things, people are noticing in the town. And another thing is when the whole scene at the gate happens and, Boaz and Ruth are made official, everyone's blessing her and they're excited about this. It's not like I can't believe he's settling for a Moabite after all these years of being unmarried. You know, it's like, oh, may you have children. May this continue on. May your name be great, you know. And then in Proverbs 31, it also says, 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, which is interesting because Ruth's child is going to rise up and be one of the most blessed kings in Israel. She's going to have David, only two generations later, or three generations, Obed, Jesse, David.
Three,
will be a huge blessing to the whole nation of Israel, not just Ruth and Naomi.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot going on there that points to wisdom and points to what they describe as wisdom in Proverbs 31. And then Ruth is kind of the example, which I think is interesting because when you first read Ruth, you think this is a pretty simple story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not complicated. It's not grandiose. It's just someone who makes one good decision after another good decision and has faith and has endurance and keeps going, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She follows the Lord, keeps her eye on the Lord, and makes decision after decision based on the fact that she wants to be closer to the Lord. And it's wisdom. It's a wise person.
us for episode 3 of season 2 of Better Half Chats. Don't forget to contact us at betterhalfchats@gmail.com or on Twitter @betterhalfchats to send us any questions or comments that you might have.